good afternoon, as always, the home run time at this time of the day, and I hope you all enjoyed voters' education lessons. It's time to learn a very important lesson, to start doing things, you know, to start thinking before doing things. You think before you, you know, including thinking before voting. But let's put a pause on politics. I know we, you know, presidential elections around the corner, so lessons are like that, more like shows like that are very important. So it's good to pay attention and share the knowledge, not just hear it and then keep it, so that when the election comes, we become, you know, smart voters, not voting because, you know, the political that political party has a beautiful flag. But anyway. Let's talk about let's take pride in what we let's take pride in indigenous knowledge. Let's take pride in indigenous knowledge. Just it turns out more wisdom is left at home. So one of those, I think if I was to point out one of those disadvantages of the rural to urban migration that is that should be added in our education curriculum today, it would be we are losing our indigenous or cultural independence, because as soon as you move to an urban area, you know, you become more of a rara, then you get to the point where you are now in no man's land, language-wise. You are, you know, your English is not that good, but then your Thimbukushu, Shuambo, Shinherero is not that good, so you're just somewhere in here in the middle. And the painful thing is, we run around telling, when we go to the village, we meet people that are fluent in our own language, and then criticize them for not being able to speak a better foreign language than we do, which we are terrible at anyway. So that's more of a like an cultural or identity dilemma that's going on in our society today. But now I only have an hour. It's Thursday, so we only have an hour. There's no I in team. We only have an hour. There's no there is no time to waste. Now let's dive in. It turns out when we are migrating from rural to urban, we are leaving a lot of wisdom that is actually required out there at the village. And when we got, and then when we get to our, you know, urban areas, we start diving into the rara, to the point where when we get outside of Africa, we have nothing to offer. You know, if I was to visit Italy with pasta, everyone would be like, yeah, that looks familiar. You give them spaghetti, like, yeah, that's ours too. You take out pizza, they're like, do you have anything that we don't know? But so then native indigenous knowledge then is what we have to offer, because that's ours. So a couple of, just this week. It was reported that several native fruits that are, you know, contains fats that have made their way into the rigor, that have made their way through the rigorous EU regulations into the EU market. Now, if you follow the, you know, basically, if you are as obsessed with the West as some of us are, then you know that the EU is very serious when it comes to setting up their regulations, to making sure that they are not perfect. Of course, they have their issues, be it technological or food wise or cosmetic or pharmaceutical, you name it. They are very strict. One very easy example that I've always used is that I think I'm gonna be using for a very long time now is look at the headache the EU regulations, tech regulations, are giving Apple. they can have different. I mean, they can have their version of any version of iOS they want anyway. But in EU, we want the iOS version that is that is in line with our regulation. And these are this this is the same block that has tech regulation so stringent, they forced a tech giant aka Apple to put back the USB Type C charging port. And so when I'm looking at how when I'm looking at what they do to big to big tech giants and big pharmaceutical companies, I can't help but that's one of those reasons actually why I celebrated a lot when I came across a local magazine of the Namibia 30 oil guide export guide, and that actually gave me the pride to know that if our products are making it into the, into this, into this marketplace that has very stringent and rigorous regulations, then perhaps is it possible local products are the way to go? Is it possible local products are the way to go? Because every health enthusiast out there, there are a lot of raw foodism and natural food, and it's very enticing when you it's more like very convincing, if I can use that word, every time that you take a bottle or a container or a bottle or a plastic of cosmetics, or be it a packaged food. What are people looking for? There's this sense of comfort. I don't know if it's just me. There's this sense of comfort that comes to you when you read something that, natural products, no synthetic product, fat-free, artificial additive-free, GMO-free. For some reason, there is an obsession, for a very good reason, because, we have survived on natural products for as long as we have as a species. So it's not surprising that they are held with high esteem. They are basically put on a pedestal. Let's take a short commercial break and we'll continue on the Home Run on the other side.
Say goodbye summer and hello savings with WB. Buy 2 liters Sunpick cooking oil for $64.99. 5 kg Sugar King white sugar for $87.99. 2 kg Nam Milk or Maire for only $43.99 each. Huggies Dry Comfort jumbo packs for $199.99 each, and a pack of 8 One Ply Twin Saver toilet rolls for $42.99. Stay updated with the latest deals and more at www.vurmanbrock.com.
And welcome back. It's 10 minutes past the hour of 5, and you are listening to The Home Run with Helm here on Eagle FM. And as always, here to keep you company, at least for today, it's just an hour. For here to keep you company until the hour of 6. Now, before I can actually dive into I'm gonna use most of my materials to just wrap up, but I will incorporate most of them with my in my conversation with someone who is actually more of an indigenous knowledge enthusiast, who I'll bring you on the other side of the following of the following break. You're listening to The Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM, and stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had
had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapombwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pombwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko derewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. It's 13 past the hour of 5, and we're talking about is Indigenous, could there be more to offer? Is there more that we can explore on the Indigenous knowledge perspective, especially when it comes to everything consumption and medicinal, when it comes that is plant-based? There's time for spiritual discussion, but today we're just talking about from the medicinal and consumption. And online with me is again a native or indigenous food indigenous knowledge enthusiast, France. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's your day?
Good. How are you?
All good. Yeah, just I also as surprised as I am when it comes to basically seeing our native products making it into the European market.
No, I'm not surprised.
You're not surprised? Why?
I'm just sad because they are making it in European market when we don't have a market for it here, where they are coming from. So that's the part where I'm sad.
Okay, so you're not surprised that they made it into that market of that part of the world, but you know, it's sad that we don't have a market here, which is okay. Now I'm also sad. So now just look at it. How perhaps can we solve that problem? Maybe let's start from there.
Yeah, because now we are dealing with a full-grown tree, which we allowed to grow since 1991. I mean, when we started to re-establish ourselves, or to establish ourselves rather, we didn't prioritize indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
I think we wanted to develop, to prove a point that indeed we are able to govern ourselves. But we were developing to the detriment of our own self, because mm-hmm. we didn't put into consideration of the wealth that we have indigenously. So we looked up to the European Union, we looked up to everyone, and we signed documents to qualify for this or for that, you know, for our health sector to be, you know, classified, to be the best in fighting, combating malaria and HIV, to be the best in all that.
Yeah.
So just please, at the standard of somebody seated in Washington or in England.
Mm-hmm.
But we at the end of the day, we were corrosive enough against our own wealth, which is indigenous and which is natural, and which has more capacity to even, you know, cure. And cure and also nourish the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a problem. And the problem is with a parliamentarian who has been a parliamentarian from 1990 to date.
Yeah.
I only don't point a finger to SWAPO. I will point a finger to the opposition too, because they are also in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them seems to be interested in, you know, indigenous wealth that we have, because all of them are politicians. They are at the equal pace and stage.
to
prove a point internationally.
This sort of like it's a good thing we are better late than never is a way that I'm looking at it. But what do you think perhaps was a part of the things that delayed us into realizing that the true wealth that we have, or the true products and services that we can offer out there, is what we have here, not what we are bringing in from outside? What do you think caused that delay?
Well, we are already in cohabitation with a pharmaceutical organization that are international.
Yeah.
So to break that marriage, whatever you call it, it takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have already, you have a marriage certificate. The Ministry of Health the Ministry of Health has a marriage certificate.
We have a lot of signatures on a lot of papers forming relationships with these people.
With international pharmaceutical companies.
Mm, okay.
So to divorce, you know, with the World Health Organization, and, you know, come up with your own ways of doing things is cumbersome. In my view, I don't think there's such a way. No, I don't think anyone is able to divorce. Because World Health Organization is governed by scientific-oriented research, which Africa does not even contribute to, because Africa is 80 to 90% of what they call communicable diseases, if I'm not wrong with that terminology there.
Mm-hmm.
But Africa contributes almost zero to the research, medical research process of the world. So because Africa, Africa is like a girl that is given into marriage while they are 2 years old. So once, when you grow up, you already have a husband. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in my view, we have so much in Africa when it comes to medical, like raw material, that is even able to be developed in such a way that it is organic to be able to deal with diseases. I mean, I come from a place where, I grew up very lucky because I found my grandparents alive. So I know what cures what. I know what does what.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've gone back to research on the issues of dosage, you know, to just understand.
How much is too much?
Yes.
Or how much is enough?
Yes. So that's where I'm currently on, as far as that research is concerned. But I'm sure those who are in the north, who are grown enough, they also know what does what. But the problem we run to chemical and to acids that are, you know, modern and that are not organic.
More synthetic, yeah.
And that are more synthetic, which are more dangerous to our body because they have nothing in common with our body, so as the trees have, you know, so as the animal skins or whatever, what have you had, or sand, for example.
Mm.
So we have nothing in common with chlorine, but we are drinking water that is purified with chlorine. And we can't drink water. When you see an insect landing on that water, you can't drink it. But you know that you have a lot in common with an insect.
With that
actually,
insect.
An insect is you. So that insect contains you, and you contain the insect. So me and the tree and the insect are one material. We have a lot in common. And that's why an organic tree, a root or leaf or fruit, is able to perform tasks successfully in my body, to the point of not only suppressing the disease,
mm-hmm.
but eliminating it, totally eliminating it from my system. But the synthetic medicine doesn't do that. It only suppresses the pain. It doesn't eliminate the disease.
Okay. Sometimes last year, I was given a task to go around different, different offices. It's basically government offices, to look for if there's any office or if I can be pointed into a direction of someone that at least know someone that is in charge of or regulating the distribution or the dishing out of herbal traditional healing licenses. And you have no idea how, everyone looked at me like I was crazy, which actually sort of like one of those reasons why I keep bringing up these discussions, because now I'm realizing that, we seem to think maybe the most common perception I've seen out there is that there is a conflict between academics and indigenous knowledge. But from your perspective, what would you say you have observed as the relationship, at how we view the difference between academic acquired knowledge and indigenous knowledge? Is there similarities, differences? Should they be conflicting, or should they be complementing each other?
You see, the academic world has presented themselves religiously to be biblically correct in whatever they do and whatever they say.
Hypocritical kind of presentation.
Which is hypocrisy and incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, it does not exist. Whatever they say does not exist. And it is this fantasizing of academic knowledge that is leading us to have cancer. We have never had cancer. Because cancer is a result of the bioaccumulation of so much toxic in our body that cannot be degraded by our system.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all that is brought about by the academics because of their phraseology that they have done. They have done it well to coin, to come up with terminologies.
Mm-hmm.
In English, that can really scare you from having nothing to do with any healing that is done traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because English language has assisted them to coin certain phraseologies that confuses somebody to think that, what you are about to do is evil. And
so everything, we have been conned into believing that everything that is indigenous is somewhat backwards.
Of course, its backwardness is because you look, people blame religion for that, but nowadays it's not religion that is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is science. It's academic.
But
Scientological and academic deception that we have endured for years,
mm-hmm,
has led us to the point of knowing what we can do, and we can do it, because apparently it's not scientifically proven. Now, being scientifically proven means it is not Washington, England approved. So whatever is not Washington and England approved, it's deemed to be, to be a sin, because the scientists are now gods. Mm-hmm. Just like, in religion you had the popes that were gods. Now, the scientists and the academics are the gods, and they must be the ones to tell you what medicine you are supposed to consume. And that also cuts into food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? We have genetically modified food,
uh-huh,
inorganic stuff that we are consuming, and it's fine because we are supporting Big Pharma. And it's Big Pharma, Big Tech, that we are forced, to bow to.
But we surely can't pin all this on academics, because this is the same academic that's telling us that what we have is actually the right way to go and not the other way around. Because our perception of this, because across the street from where we are right now, assuming you are still at work, it's a Chinese herbal kind of a shop where there's a traditional, you can find a traditional where they have their traditional herbs and spices. Now if someone was to open something of that nature, where you'll find all the roots and leaves of traditional healing powers that are native to us, how many of us do you see walking in there, or have we been scared by the academic, as you put it?
There was a threat through the Ministry of Information during COVID-19.
Yeah,
preventing people use trees such as mkonati and elephant dung.
Yeah. I remember that.
So if you dare to open such a thing, you are, unless you meet humiliation, you are going to be humiliated by the council, the Minister of Health and Minister of Information. You are going to be humiliated by the academics. I mean, this is public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm making an accusation.
Mm-hmm.
They know what I'm talking about. Because the issue here is not really us that is making a decision. There's somebody seated somewhere beyond the Atlantic Ocean making that decision for us. And we are taking that. So how many of us have heard about Artemisia? Well, I'm not sure whether it was the correct medicine for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
But what I expected to see was a thorough investigation that must have been taken, to see what can come out of it. Instead, the people were shunned.
Instead of just shutting it down,
countries were shunned. There were public statements that were made to make fun of whoever came up with that idea. So, and that is our nature, because the academic, in as much as they are telling us whatever they are telling us, they are not consistent in what they are saying.
Yeah,
because today they are saying indigenous is good.
Mm.
Tomorrow they are shouting the same thing that they say is good.
All right, let's take a short commercial break. France, we'll continue this on the other side. Stay.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And welcome back to the home run. France?
Yes.
I'm holding a magazine. Please finish your point. Yeah.
That type of inconsistency. Is problematic. It's like, they are also speaking like politicians, because, politicians are not consistent in what they say. Today they say this, tomorrow they say that. Now, for example, if somebody says, there's nothing called ancestral land. You say ancestral land does not exist. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You are saying traditional authorities don't exist, because traditional authorities are the foundation of culture and tradition. And they are the upholders of it. They are the anchors of culture and tradition. And there is no culture and tradition without ancestry, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So when a politician is making that remark, it's being inconsistent, in my view, with reality. So it's not based himself in reality. So he's declaring the traditional British existence nullified immediately. So that is what is killing us in Africa. We do not have a consistent voice. we say this today, and tomorrow we are under pressure. We come and verify what we said boldly yesterday, and we start to implement certain.
We start to go against it.
Yeah, because we are controlled by somebody. We sit at somewhere.
Okay. Now. We are in the middle of a drought, and we are, you know, we are fully aware at this point, at least those of us that are grown up enough to understand what's going on around us, that this is going to be a rough year drought-wise. And for the most part, especially a lot of countries in SADC, including Zambia, are going through basically the same El Nino situation. But then these are the countries like Angola, Namibia, Zambia, and Botswana all have one thing in common. They have this mangeti fruits. And one thing I was able to learn is that all these fatty oil products that have made it into the European market are coming from plants that are that can withstand drought.
Yeah.
And the marula, the marula tree is estimated to have a lifespan of about 150 years. So. Why are we now I'm picturing this in a form of of a commercial farm. In other words, all you just have to do is plant once, and then you have trees that are going to be inherited by your kids. Do you see that going? Do you see us going in that direction now that we are beginning to learn that everything we have ever wanted is actually what we have had all throughout history, aka indigenous to us?
No, but the Europeanization of Africa is a problem. Because Europe is a confused continent.
In what way?
Number one, and you see, their confusion, they are imposing it on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So Europe is the one that came up with the concept, or let me say, Europe is the one that brought religion to, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
After bringing religion, they come back again and say, oh, you know what? We are from apes.
Forget religion.
Yeah, we are from baboons.
Now think monkeys.
You guys are the first batch out of that baboonish, generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the last batch, and that's why we are more wiser than you are. That is, confusion. Mm-hmm. And now, they are bringing again another thing on top of that. So multiple layers of inconsistency. And now you see that instead of focusing on the protection of our own indigenous tree species,
mm-hmm.
we are importing trees. We are planting in a tree that we are importing. And we are not coming up even with a, we can make up our own tropical forest full of those trees that are indigenous enough and that are rich in both medicinal and, and food benefits for the generations to come. But at least the Minister of Forestry, they are doing a good job here when it comes to the protection of certain tree species.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end there. The mangeti that you are talking about was food for the Kavangos.
When they had
nothing to eat, that was food. Mangeti is a mangete in Oshuambo and Mungongo in Silozi.
They also call it Ngongo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in Silozi they call it Mungongo, and in Timbukushu Ngongo.
Yeah, just Ngongo. So, we just remove the M and straight to the NGO, yeah.
Yes. Now, these are the products, these are supposed to be, because they've made this oil, mind you, for your own information, it's not just oil for cooking, it's also detoxing, depending on the dosage that you take.
Yeah, it has both cosmetic, pharmaceutical, and is for consumption also. Multi-purpose. Yes.
Most of our trees, most of the trees are like that. They have multi-purpose. They are both nutritional and, you know, detoxing. I have actually found another tree species that is very scarce when I went last year. And I'm busy studying on it to see what can come out of it. So, but the information is because we are indigenous people, and most of our knowledge that we have is despised by the academics, because academics is about the corporate world, which is a competitive world, and the financial world. And indigenous is not really financially oriented. Indigenous is community oriented.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, you know, the pharmaceutical, I mean, the academic world will win, of course, because there's finance, there's money, and there's competition towards it. But in our area, for example, when I grew up, I used to hear my grandfather talking about foot and mouth disease and how it could be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually a plant that does that. So, but this is what we were supposed to have taken in consideration as a country. By this time, we could have been the ones supplying the world with this type of, you know, a medicine or vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not have political power, or we don't have political will, like what the Brazilian Minister of Health did in 1996 when they were creating their own generic antiretroviral drug. They faced a lot of resistance from the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
but because the Minister of Health was determined, they went through. So we don't.
We don't have the courage to put up with the pressure from mostly countries where the big pharmaceutical companies come from.
Yes, because look, you can be how irresponsible, but you can never be irresponsible to the point of biting the finger that is busy feeding you.
Yeah. That's a good point. But usually, most of the suppressions that are done, you know, more like, and it's done for, it's not rocket science. If you haven't patented something, you are not making money out of it, and it's threatening your business. It's it makes a lot of capitalism sense, not common sense, but capitalism sense to basically decide, you know, maybe, you know, overlook it. But on our own now, on our own, we're talking about, on our own as natives. Are we perhaps doing anything to uphold what is native to us, or we are just, we're already far on, you know, high up on the bandwagon?
No, we the natives, I think the natives are still intact.
Okay.
You know, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Because the natives are still intact, because we know what cures what, and I know for myself, I've never gone into the hospital for years now, because when I go home, I make sure that I go back and I stock up into the things that can help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shunning going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying, because people misunderstand, because they think that natives will. People are discouraged to go to hospital, no?
Mm-hmm.
Natives go to the hospital. But we know immediately what can help, you know, to cure what can suppress what.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even the type of food people used to eat. Okay, there are a lot of supplements that were native, that some were meant for women, some were meant for men, especially when women are just about, you know, after giving birth, they are taken into some, you know, health care that would help them. And that's why those days there were no, you know, so much problems as we see now. I don't want to go deeper.
Okay.
But because they were responsible people, especially the elderly people, who understood what needed to be done when. Immediately after the person is given birth, this is what the person needs to food, this is what the person needs to eat. And they made sure that the plates that, especially in our culture, the plates that are used to feed the person that you were just given birth are not touched by anybody, you know, apart from the person that is assigned to make sure that that person is fed. Those were measures that were put in place to make sure that this person has all it takes to recover. And there are also medicines that when you are going to birth, you put this is what you put in water, this is what happens. So even men had their own, you know, health care that they are taken through certain, you know, protocols to help them, you know, grow as a man. So all that was in, all that is still intact. Of course, it is dying out because people are afraid of identifying themselves as herbalists, because they are afraid of being, you know, shunned. They are also afraid of being, they are afraid maybe they can be arrested. But though there is no threat from the government against the herbalists in general, but just a general, you know, perception about a herbalist, as I said, that there are terminologies that are coined in English by the, you know, knowledgeable academics to make sure that when you hear the word herbalist, if I stand up now and I say I'm a herbalist, everybody will look at me with, you know, with shining eyes. Or I don't know, you know, in your world, how you look at people. But it's, people will look at me differently. Is he a, you know, is a, because there's a difference between a witch doctor and a herbalist.
Yeah, we don't,
because a herbalist deals with natural medicine that are readily available, provided by the environment.
Yeah.
The herbalist doesn't divine. So
they are not involved in the spiritual aspect of of healing.
Yes, there's no divination in herbalism. We only know that this tree, this is what it does, and this is a dosage. Because we know that too much of this will cause this. We know. So those are the first doctors that we actually had before science came. Science is not even older than 300 years. Yeah, the science that we are boasting about now is not older than 300 years. Now, how can something that existed thousands of years be forced to be subject to something that just came yesterday?
Yeah.
So that's where we need to think that we have lost a lot, but it's not too late. Because even what you call ombike today, the one that they make with the fruit.
Yeah.
Well, in as much as it is gin, you know, if you take it too much, it becomes gin. It becomes alcohol. But if you take a lid, one drop, it becomes detoxing.
Okay, now you're giving me ideas. Okay, just to wrap it up, what would you say with regards to indigenous knowledge and how it's appreciated out there and how it's shunned, here at home? What message perhaps would you like to leave to anyone listening with regards to how important, how to maybe point of view, change their point of view, and maybe how to appreciate what is indigenous to us because of how it's, how it's being appreciated out there.
You see, the Chinese are who they are today because they have combined, you know, their indigenous knowledge with modern science and modern society. They've incorporated it in modern society. And that's why they can never be beatable. They are unbeatable. We are moving backward because we have lost what we have, and we have not arrived where we are supposed to be because we don't understand the formulas, we don't understand the terminologies, we don't understand the phraseologies, we also don't understand the process behind what we are said to, you know, we are forced to have. And that's why the same, method that works better in Europe it's working worse in Africa. Why? It's because we have forgotten who we are, and then we have jumped into a wagon with nothing. That's why Africa can never participate in research paper, because we always go to the table with what? With nothing. We go empty-handed because we have nothing to offer.
Yeah, more like we always go there with what they already have.
Yes, because we go there empty-handed, and it makes us easy for us to beg. That's why we were crying, and we even came up with a terminology, apparently, is vaccine apartheid. Well, so it is because we have lost our indigenous knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We have not capitalized on what we have,
yeah,
and we have not even made an effort to incorporate it with modern society, our modern social life, what it indigenously knows.
Yeah.
So that is our problem. And, you know, it will take us to be born again from that and come back to ourselves, because we still have people that have that knowledge, and let's approach them. Let's do proper research.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are in universities.
Yeah.
And professors. We have a lot of professors. Can you imagine Zambezi is 42? I don't know how many professors in Oshana, Ohangwena, and Domsati, Doshikoto. But these people are coming from the forest. But none of them is even interested in making research into how we can, you know, modernize our indigenous, you know, wealth and knowledge and capitalize on it. None of them. All of us wants to be, you know, we are taken by surprise by English terminology.
All right.
That is what is killing us.
Uh-huh.
And until we realize what we have lost,
mm-hmm,
or what we have now, before we completely lose it,
mm-hmm,
it will be unfortunate that the time we are going to find ourselves, we realize and there is nothing we can do.
All right. Thank you very much for making the time for us.
Right.
Yeah. You know, this whole subject of indigenous knowledge, right? You know, if you're a regular listener of any of my shows, then you know that I like talking much on this subject, and I like putting more emphasis on food, because, well, this is one thing that we all share in common all across culture. Culture, race, religion, we all eat to survive. Now, because of that, every time that I hear some, you know, one of the most irritating English words I don't like hearing, well, it makes me laugh and makes me, you know, make fun of people, because believe me, I'm very good at that, is traditional food. Like, that is the term I never understood. Traditional food. The question is, traditional to who? Because everything that you are eating is traditional to someone. Again, easy example, cheese, sushi, spaghetti, pizza, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter how fancy the name of the food is. Unless it's something that was just put together by a very creative chef in the kitchen, most common food types that I consume today, by the way, don't use it for research purposes. That's one of those things that's highly recommended. Don't use Wikipedia for research purposes, but every single major brand or word of food name has a Wikipedia page. Now, open one and then go under history. It's simple. History. Everything from salt to everything around us is actually native to someone. Again, we have oils, just one marula tree, just one. We call it mura, by the way, where I come from. One type of a tree, one type of oil. This tree has a lifespan of 150 years. 150 years, almost two centuries. That means if you plant a marula tree today, you're gonna die and your grandkid is gonna die and your great grandkid maybe will just die at the same time as that tree. And these trees are drought tolerant. That means in this global screw up kind of weather that we are going through, these are the type of plants and food sources we should be looking at. Now, I can't help but start thinking about the rural to urban migration and how it factors in all this. Because most of the wisdom that is actually, that is native is always left at home every time that we come here. And when we leave it at home and we only go home, again, I understand the economic demand of, that creates the need for someone to move from rural, from rural to urban. I am in urban. Believe me, no one understands that better than I do. But it all now comes down to one thing. Isn't there a way that we can complement, that we can make academics and indigenous knowledge to, and I know the terminology is also very, to some degree, very conflicting. In academic acquired knowledge and indigenous knowledge to complement each other after sitting in the professor's class, learn that, and then go home and also sit in an indigenous class. Now, a very big shout out to those very few Namibians that are actually doing this, that are taking this taking these products out there. They may be doing it for purely economic or maybe commerce or business reasons, but in the process of them making money, also let's give them credit for the fact that they are upholding our indigenous food and knowledge and all that. Now, of all the things that we have around us, the only things that we are very good at appreciating are those things that are, those things that are foreign. And there's a fancy word for it. There's a fancy English word for it. Exotic. And that's totally understandable. Now, 150 years, I'm jealous. Now, when it comes to the Marula tree, according to the Namibian Fatty Oil Export Guide, Marula, a valuable natural resources in Southern Africa. The key word there is natural resources. I also am guilty of this. Like, every time we mention natural resources, how many of us picture Marula as a natural resource? Because I'm pretty sure most of us just picture, diamond, gold, oil. These are the things that, now, when it comes to, the last time when I was having a natural resources discussion, I was having it, in the aspect of the human resources also being a resources that is not actually factored into the definition of natural resources. Every time that we talk about natural resources, the first thing that, we talk about it in terms of the extractive, not human resources as also a natural resources. And yesterday and the whole of today, I also have to fit Marula and Ngongo in my definition of natural resources. Now, Marula, a valuable natural resources in Southern Africa, holds a significant ecological, economic, and social importance. And its widespread spread distribution across diverse landscape means it interacts with the multitude of cultures, perceptions, and belief systems. This perennial and drought-resistant tree. Keywords there. Perennial, drought-resistant tree. Now, this tree thrives in frost-free regions of sub-Sahara Africa, consistently yielding bountiful crops, typically found in medium-low-altitude Marula tree can grow up to 10 meters tall and live up to 150 years. Now, keyword here, most important part, recognizing its importance as a commercial crop is crucial for future climate change mitigation efforts. Innovation is required here when it comes to plants that we consume, because there are plants obviously that we have had all throughout history in different traditions. Like sorghum is a big deal in Botswana. They said this type of sorghum we call gava, the short ones. They are very common in Botswana. And then they say type of millet, mahangu, we call, what, I don't know what's called in English, but get yourself a kavango friend. Kanamko, also the short ones. Now, every time that I think, you know, every time that I, you know, that I think about these things and reflect, looking at my parents and my grandparents doing these things, I'm beginning to question every class that I ever sat in to acquire knowledge, because they figured out that if you plant legumes and maize or sorghum in the same row, they will complement each other nutritionally. Except with our PhDs, we have no idea how that works. Again, are we sure we don't want academic to complement, our native knowledge? Because clearly, I don't think they should be conflicting the way that we are seeing it playing out today. That if I have, if I'm coming from a university with my graduate degree, I can't have any agricultural conversation with my grandma, because believe me, she knows more than you do. You sat in the class to learn it. She lived through it to learn it. No best teacher than experience. There is no best teacher who is better than experience. Okay. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, good evening. Yeah, Morogeni.
Morogeni, Gabi, go.
Nawa. So, go makara ko ko
iruga na ya.
Iruga na. You don't want to teach me again. I don't know what is the problem.
Yeah. Not here. We'll take up the whole time.
Let me take a minute or so before. What you end up here this time? So you see, very important topic or lesson,
mm-hmm.
Indigenous knowledge of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
This indigenous knowledge of Namibia cut across all the whole country. We have got indigenous use of plants to treat malaria and associated symptoms. And you have all this indigenous knowledge of medicinal plants used for the treatment of whether it's cancer,
mm-hmm.
or any other ailment. So we have all those things. Why are we not doing research for these things? Just to understand this indigenous knowledge and antibiographical kind, those kind of properties. And then now we're talking about devil's crown. One of the young scientists who's a lecturer at the university, I was watching her, and then I was talking about the value attached, the monetary value attached to some of those indigenous things, plants, medicinal purpose, and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
But isn't it for us, as the young ones, and I think that's how we were told, whether I started, these different trades, different profession.
Yeah.
When you want to do some research, how do your lecturer or professor really tell you? When are you going to start doing some of this research and find out and even start conserving some of this plant for future generations?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is very important. I listen to Tate France and yourself, but sometimes we just need to go and replant these things to our villages. See those who are destroying the ones that are very useful, even for fruit, in the bush there. So let me end up here. We continue next time about this indigenous knowledge of Namibia.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. Mother Nature, when she put us on this planet, she made sure that we are well taken care of, both culinary and medicinally. Interesting enough, every time that we just decide, you know what, Mother Nature, bye-bye, we end up paying the consequences. It's only today when I'm learning that there's a type of a fruit that is called, is it Zimenia? Again, Zimenia Americana. Really? Americana? Okay. We call it Hambia. It's a very, it's a very beautiful and very delicious fruit. They are green when they are not ripen, and they turn orangish red when they are ripe. It turns out not only is it anti-inflammatory, but also it possesses a lot of it possesses a lot of nutrients and that's only the fruit itself. Now, when you crack it open inside, it's a now for that one you can just bite it open, and there is the oily part. There's a little bit of a white, very mushy stuff inside. Turns out you can also make oil of it, oil out of it, and that oil is not only highly nutritious, it also has pharmaceutical and cosmetic properties. All this wisdom we have been with for as long as history can remember. But no. Kerolite, the police had to be brought in for Kerolite. Y'all remember that? Because we all, just decided to go with the Western beauty standards. But to have a healthy skin, all you just have to do is go back to grandma and say, okay, what were y'all using as makeup? And then make it better. Because one of the reasons why we don't like asking our grandmas for this cosmetic stuff is because what they were using is dirty and backwards and primitive. Well, take it, study it, make it better, carry on the tradition. That's a waste of time. I'll just order one, and then, life goes on. Next thing you know, our tradition is being replaced. Okay, now, I think rural to urban migration is factoring into this big time. And, we have a lot of telecommunication services that we can use to have conversation with grandnies and grandpas and grandmas at home, because allowing this wisdom to get lost will be the end of us. It's just Ngongo, Marula, and Zimenia, aka Hambia. I don't know how to make that even more simple. And then there's the equivalent of that to Kukuru. If Kavango is listening today, they are having a field day. And all this actually has more medicinal, pharmaceutical, which is the same thing, cosmetic and nutritional values. And you know what? That's what we classify under backwards traditional food. Get it out of my face. Like, you know what? I'm going to, that makes the end of our show for today, and thank you once again, France, for making the time. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed day, and if you are still on your way, I know this is the time of that time of the day when you all are driving home. Just drive safe, and don't drink and drive.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Baratas today. Visit us online at baratas.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always prepare Baratas.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
My friend, ipuranenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa yapumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.